Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. It was the number one song the day I was born. About 700 pounds. That's how much wood a woodchuck could chuck, if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Despite the rainbow of colors, all Fruit Loops are actually the same flavor. I see some disbelief, so you want some, Paul? I know you want some. So try them and see. You can let us know. There are 293 ways to make change for a dollar. So, no, I need to keep that. That's mine. We need that. You cannot pinch your nose and hum. Go ahead. Your circulatory system is more than 60,000 miles long. A shrimp's heart is in its head. I got info for days, right? I'm up to my knees in facts. Aren't we all? Don't you have a phone? All the knowledge you could want, right? But what happens when you have a question or a situation that Google can't answer? When you wonder if you matter? Or you question why you exist, or if you should exist. When you suffer a broken heart or a splintered relationship, we can find information about these things that keep us awake at night, but it's a narrow path that leads to true healing. Right? And friends and family and the internet, it can give some insight that can bandage a wound or that can mask some symptoms, but what about real healing? Well, that's the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is information and facts, and wisdom is the solution to real life problems. Knowledge looks at your phone. Wisdom looks to God. We live in the age of knowledge, but wisdom comes at a premium. Why? Today we're going to answer that question and more. So we're in the middle of a series on the book of James, and last week a friend said to me, I feel like James just steps on my toes. And James will get up in your business. But instead of being defensive, we would be wise to listen. Here's why. James was the brother of Jesus. He did not believe his brother was God when they were growing up. Typical brother stuff, right? Not believing your brother is God. He did believe Jesus was the Savior after he saw him alive after his death. Now, other people had been brought back to life from the dead in the Bible, but no one thought those people were God. But James saw his brother come back to life and then knew the perfection he saw in him growing up wasn't just annoying, but it was proof that Jesus is God. And later, James was stoned to death because he refused to renounce his belief in Jesus as the Savior. So his voice is worth hearing. So we're going to hear his voice today. James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18 is where we find ourselves. James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word that is alive and active in our lives today. Please use my words in spite of me. Help us to feel your spirit. Help us to hear your word above anything else and see Jesus before anything else. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Stewardesses is the longest word typed only by the left hand. I know that because I Googled it. It took about 4 seconds. It was easy. But recently I had a hard situation, a necessary but very tough conversation. So I prayed. I asked some wise friends in my life for guidance. I waited a couple days asking God for wisdom. Knowledge is easy, right? But wisdom is rare because wisdom takes work. Wisdom takes work. The Bible promises wisdom. Earlier, James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. That's a clear promise, right? Ask God for wisdom, he will give you wisdom. But we have to ask. We have to go to God and ask for wisdom and take our life situations to him to receive his wisdom. So wisdom takes work. And in our passage, James shows us there are two kinds of wisdom. One is from the world, and one is from God. One is cultural, and one's from the creator of the heavens and the earth. One is found on the internet, and one is given by God. So how do we tell them apart? James says it's by the fruit that they produce. He says that worldly wisdom is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. Let that sink in. It's marked by and known by jealousy and selfish ambition, and what it produces is disorder and evil. Worldly wisdom says, live your truth, right? Do what best serves you. And it can bring brief pleasure. But as Mr. Jagger said, we try and we try, but we can't get no. Yeah. Wisdom from this world says no one's wrong because everyone is right. And it claims to seek unity, but it actually demands conformity to its beliefs. And worldly wisdom is dependent on self-righteousness, which is fine. Until you live long enough to realize no one, no, not one, is righteous. Worldly wisdom relies fully on self, while godly wisdom finds its source in God. And James says, godly wisdom is pure, peaceful, gentle, reasonable. It's marked and known by mercy. It's not partial. It's sincere. And it produces good fruit. This wisdom creates unity because it recognizes that we're only made righteous by Jesus. And Jesus is the core of genuine unity. So while worldly wisdom causes division, godly wisdom bonds us in our common need of a Savior. So worldly wisdom is heard in the loudest voice, and godly wisdom is seen in a person who is peaceful and gentle and forgiving. I think it's rain. Yeah. We're all asking each other. Yes, thank you, Lord. We need it. Hey, that's great. Yeah. So wisdom is an area of life that we truly are what we do. So in the last sentence of this section today, I thought I found an editing error in my Bible. It seems like a sentence was copied and pasted and put in the wrong place. Because it says, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What? Like James riffs on wisdom, and then all of a sudden he turns his corner and talks about peace. What does wisdom have to do with peace? Everything. The result of godly wisdom is peace. So wisdom from the world causes pain and trouble, but wisdom from above creates peace. So wisdom takes work, and its pursuit brings peace. And James tells us that those who sow in peace grow in peace. What we sow and we plant is what grows in our lives. So my mother-in-law, it's always fun to start a sentence that way because it could go anywhere, right? So my mother-in-law is great and generous, and she recently treated our family to a cruise to Bermuda. Yeah, we even made it through the Bermuda Triangle, I think. Or this could be an alternate universe, and I could be missing from real life. It's pretty cool either way. But it is such a beautiful place, you can't help but feel close to God. I even found a church, and I'm taking this opportunity to say we're moving to Bermuda. Not really. It is actually the most expensive place in the world to live. So Lyndale is, it's really good. While we were on Bermuda, we took a tour with a recently retired police officer from the island. So I asked him about his weaponry and what kind of peacemaker he carried. And he told me that on the entire island, only 4 police officers carry a gun. And he showed me his little wooden club and proudly said in 39 years, he never had to use it. He said that he made peace through his gift of gab, that he could talk down an angry person. He was a peaceful man, and he used that to influence others. Those who sow in peace grow in peace. So at this point, we have to ask a very important question. What is peace? Our modern view of peace is one that imagines an absence of conflict. It's all good, right? Don't make waves. Chill, bruh. If you say that, I don't say that. Peace means good vibes only, right? But the biblical view of peace and the word James uses for peace here, you can see it, is translated as right relationships between individuals. So peace is not the absence of conflict, but the pursuit of healthy relationships. Those who sow in peace grow in peace, right? What we plant and what we sow is what grows in our lives. We want the fruit of a good life, but that can't grow in divided soil. So why does James take a sharp turn and talk about peace when he's dissecting wisdom? It's because the result of godly wisdom is peace. When we take the pain and the confusion of this life to God and ask him for wisdom, he gives us his wisdom that leads to peace. So our tour guide in Bermuda drove us by his home. That picture looks like he's really angry. He's not. That's just the only picture I had with him in it. He was like, "May, was he like having you eat a tomato or something?" You've shown us. He kept like picking fruit and stuff and just telling us to eat it, and we did. Like, we really trusted him. So he drove us by his home, and he told us that most Bermudian homes are generational. He built this home, and then later he built 2 apartments attached to it. When his kids graduate college, they'll move into those apartments, and then one day they'll inherit the home. That's how it is there, that most generations inherit the home. And we received an inheritance from the first people God created, and that inheritance is sin. Very different from a house in Bermuda. We inherit sin, and that sin causes us to be separated from God. And the Bible tells us we were created to have a relationship with God. So when we are separated from him, we cannot have his peace. But God gave his son, Jesus, to restore our relationship with him. And because of what God has done for us, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we inherited sin from the first people, and we inherit forgiveness from Jesus. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're raised to a new life that gives peace with God. So through Jesus, God offers us peace with him. And in James, he promises wisdom that leads us to peace with people. So we're going to read a verse now that you may have heard before, that Jesus says, where two or more of you are gathered, there I am. And sometimes we say it, you know, like, if you knew it was going to rain today and you all stayed home and 10 people came, we'd say, well, where two or more are gathered, he's here. But and that's absolutely true. So don't say we misuse it. That's absolutely true. But the context, when Jesus said that, he was teaching about resolving conflict. He was teaching and saying, hey, if someone's wronged you, if you have a problem with them, go to them. If they won't hear you, take someone with you. If they won't hear you, go to the church. Like, he is explaining the process of resolving conflict. Right, so that's the context for this. And he says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So true peace isn't in the lack of conflict, but in the presence of Jesus. True peace isn't in a happy marriage. It's in a marriage built around Jesus. True peace isn't in the absence of a hard diagnosis, but in the confidence that Jesus will restore our bodies. True peace isn't in the balance of your bank account, but in knowing your value in Jesus. True peace is not what you see in the mirror, but knowing that God sees your heart. So peace is offered to us through the pursuit of godly wisdom. And that wisdom leads us to peace. So what we plant and sow is what we live. So those who sow in peace grow in peace. Peaceful, easy feeling. It's a song recorded by the Eagles on their 1972 debut album named Eagles. I think they had used all their creativity and it came time to name the album. But Glenn Frey captures our human feelings towards peace, and he sings, I got a peaceful, easy feeling. I know you can't let me down because I'm already standing on the ground. You think about what he's saying. He's like, I can't get any lower than I am. You can't let me down anymore. And he's talking about a feeling, right? A peaceful, easy feeling, but feelings come and go. Feelings can lie to us. Feelings change, right? Glenn Frey of the Eagles liked to play tennis. Wimbledon tennis balls are stored at 68 degrees. Heads up, Tommy. He almost intercepted. That would have been fine. That's a fact. 68 degrees, knowledge, information. There's more of it for you, right? Here's another fact. Growing in peace is a lifelong process. It's presented in the Bible as a current development with a future fulfillment. The result of godly wisdom is peace, and that peace is fulfilled in Jesus. When the prophet Isaiah predicted Jesus' birth, he said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus came as the Prince of Peace to restore our relationship with God. And we sow in peace because of what he's done for us. And Isaiah promises a future where this peace is fulfilled. It says, "The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That is peace. True peace and right and whole relationships. And the Bible says it will exist through knowledge of the Lord. It's a true peace, not a peaceful, easy feeling that can come and go, but unwavering stillness comes from knowledge of the Lord. So do you know the Lord? Really and truly know the Lord. Christy and I celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary this year. That really is me. My head was just darker back then. Remember the Alamo. It comes from that. I know her. We've been together so long, we finish each other's sandwiches. I know her because I've studied her. And I think about her. I talk to her. Sometimes I listen to her. But I give her my time and my attention. It's an intimate knowledge of the Lord that leads to peace. That knowledge requires time and attention and trust, and the result is growing in peace. Isaiah says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Those who sow in peace grow in peace. And maybe you didn't come here today to be told that you need to sow or you need to work because you're tired. Life has kicked you around, kicked you down, and you just don't even feel like getting up. You've been dealt a bad hand and you're ready to fold. That is okay. But if that's you, listen to this invitation from Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Go to Jesus for rest and peace. Go to him and be restored. Go to him for a reason to keep going. That's godly wisdom that speaks to you in a gentle voice. Go to Jesus and be made whole. Worldly wisdom shouts at you that you're not good enough. You got too much of a past, too much addiction, too much violence, too much regret. You're too exhausted to even go to God, much less earn his love. Godly wisdom says Jesus has already done that for you. And Colossians says, "For in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether in earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." So Jesus has already made peace through his cross, but you will only experience it when you trust him as your Savior. And that work is done. It is your free gift to accept for everyone. If we all walked outside right now, we would all get wet. That's how God's grace is. It covers us all. Sometimes we just need to stop stepping out of it and say yes. So if that's you today, if you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior and you feel called to do that, you want true peace, I'm going to pray and you can just repeat after me what I say. You can stand on your chair and scream it if you'd like, or you can quietly say it in your head. Let's all bow our heads and I'm just praying. So if that's you, if you need to accept Jesus as your Savior today, just repeat what I say. Jesus, I need you. I've come to the end of myself and I need you. I turn away from living for myself. Jesus, you are the Savior. I accept the life you give. Amen. Do we have any elders in the room? I see one in the back corner. Got an elder here. Got an elder here. You have an elder anywhere here? Here. So we have one elder there. Jeff, come up here. So if that's you, if you want to pray with somebody, if you have questions about that, we have a gentleman in the blue shirt there, Jeff here. They would love to talk with you. If you just need prayer, if you just need somebody to pray with you, they are available and would love to pray with you. If we have somebody to pray with, a woman in the back there. I thought she was telling me my windows are down. I was about to split. And here's the thing. Maybe you've got something in your life that you can't even say. If you just go up to them, they will pray for you. You're not in this alone, okay? Life is going to happen when you leave here. That's what life does. It happens. And God invites us to bring life to him to receive his wisdom. And that wisdom leads us to peace. Right? Knowledge looks at your phone. Wisdom looks to God. And that wisdom leads to peace, and those who sow in peace grow in peace. So we're going to sing another song if you need prayer. We have people in the corners. So God, thank you. Thank you for your promise of wisdom and peace, and thank you that we have that promise because of Jesus. Because he broke the darkness, because he defeated sin, and because he is alive, because he is our living hope. And God, we agree together and say hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free.